Seldom does a conductor stand before the Philadelphia Orchestra without a podium, particularly one who isn't particularly tall. But Herbert Blumstead did exactly this in his most recent guest conducting appearance at the Kimmel Center for Beethoven's Piano Concerto No. 3. Seldom also does a conductor go out of his way to shake hands with the entire double bass section, but Blumstead did so at the end of Beethoven's Eroica Symphony. At age 84, Herbert Blumstead is one of the most experienced conductors currently on the international circuit, and as the Philadelphia Inquirer's David Patrick Stearns discovered, the older this one gets, the more deep his convictions, and the less he cares if people share them.
Who is Herbert Blumstead? He's widely assumed to be a German conductor, having had some of his most fruitful symphonic relationships in Dresden and Leipzig. Yet his accent belongs to Sweden, where he grew up. His birth certificate says he's American, born in Springfield, Massachusetts. Thus, Maestro Blumstead is beyond caring how badly his name is mispronounced. Behind his big glasses and still thick hair, he's like one of those Russian eggs. Open him up, and a rather different person is inside, with a still different individual inside of that. At his very core are long-held beliefs and the courage to put them into practice.
Getting older, also, you take more risks to follow your conscience and not bow down to traditions. I have to do what I know is right. It's almost get to a moral question. Now, I don't care what others think. I care about the score. I have to play as the composer wants it.
Nothing is quite that simple. Though known mostly for big-boned Bruckner symphonies, he was asked to perform Bach's Mass in B minor in the composer's adopted hometown of Leipzig. Symphonic conductors from Arturo Toscanini to Wolfgang Sawallisch have balked at taking on this towering masterpiece. No problem for Blumstead. His performance was completely up to date in terms of modern scholarship, but these more recent notions stood on the shoulders of Blumstead's encounters with Bach dating back to his childhood in Sweden.
This was a state school. At 8 o'clock, the whole school came together for a morning worship, 15 minutes. Every morning we started with a Bach chorale, mostly. And the organist was always a student. And when he graduated, this school asked me to play the organ. So I started to play the organ, and I immediately got caught. And I could not stop playing Bach. I played all 9 volumes through it. I just devoured it. So wonderful music. So Bach was there from the very beginning.
Like Bach, Herbert Blumstead is deeply religious and observes the Sabbath in ways that have impacted his professional life. As a Seventh-day Adventist, he won't rehearse from Friday night to Saturday night.
Because Jesus kept the Sabbath. This was a problem. I had a fantastic debut concert with the Stockholm Philharmonic, and the whole world fell into my lap immediately. Next week, I got an offer from another Swedish orchestra. They wanted to meet with their music director. So they told me, "We have heard rumors say that you don't conduct on Saturdays. Is that true?" "Yes," I say, "that's true." "Well, thank you so much. Then we cannot work with you." I was difficult to hear.
On less deeply held matters, Blumstead can be dragged into alien territory, though with a bit of kicking and screaming. During his Dresden period from 1975 to 1985, one of those territories was opera.
For a long time, vocal music, what I heard on the radio, was so bad, so I detested it, because they could not sing in tune. Especially when they sang Wagner. If I were playing like that on the violin, they would throw me out. But a singer can be world famous and sing, "Ah!" Horrible, horrible.
As it turned out, his operatic experiences weren't bad at all and yielded a fine recording of Beethoven's Fidelio in its earlier version titled Leonora. He put opera behind him while music director of the San Francisco Symphony from 1985 to 1995. But there were other challenges to his somewhat contrarian nature.
If they are very popular things, my instinct is stay away from it. If it is very popular, it's 90% chance that it's not good. Sometimes this has had a negative influence on my career, perhaps, but that's the way I am. What everybody does, I don't want to do. The real good things, only few people like, you know. I came to San Francisco and we made a contract with Decca, which was a very good thing. And they wanted me to do Carmina Burana. And I never conducted Carmina Burana for this reason. It's so popular, so and there are hundreds of recordings, why should I do it? But they insisted, so I said, okay, I'll study the score. And I started to love it, of course, because it's wonderful music if you take it as it is. And we won a Grammy with it. So that's one example that perhaps I should not always follow my instincts.
These days, Blumstedt has no music directorship, no consistent public to serve, no musicians to fire or demote. So he hones in on what he loves and believes in most. And on that front, Beethoven looms high. He sees more than the actual music. Clearly, he has thought a lot about Beethoven's impact on the human psyche.
Our own heart is divided in different compartments. We want this, but we all want also this, and how do we combine it, you know, what is right? There's always a constant struggle going on within us to do the right thing. Beethoven is able to put this in music, to use the sonata form to illustrate this drama, this human drama. I think this is the reason why Beethoven's symphonies are still so relevant today. There's a struggle that is never solved.
How does that actually translate into sound? Often, for Blumstedt, it means following Beethoven's fast metronome markings as closely as is practical. And since Blumstedt chose not to temper the big, glamorous Philadelphia sound, the tempos had to be a little slower to keep all that sound clear and comprehensible. But as plush as the Eroica Symphony was, Beethoven wasn't airbrushed. The music's heroism had stature that wasn't diminished by cheap pathos. The performance didn't leap out at the audience as much as it inspired listeners to reach out to Beethoven. There wasn't much you could point to and say, that's a Blumstedt touch. It wasn't his Beethoven, and so it was ours.
Philadelphia Inquirer's David Patrick Stearns.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.